Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. Now, I guess we have another service at 4 o'clock, right? Okay, 4 o'clock, I'll be telling you a little bit during the message about Vietnam. But let me sing you a song. My wife tells me, she said, there's a reason people don't ask you to sing. I've just never caught on. I haven't figured out what she means. It's a Vietnamese song. It's for the little kids in Vietnam singing this in church. It goes, Sang Thuc Yay Im Kem An Chua Chua An Kham Im Kem An Chua Ki Din Trung Im Kem An Chua Toi Ki Linh Dương Im Khung Kem An Ngài Im Lung Lung Thích Kem An Chua Kem An Chua Vì Chua Yêu Im Im luôn luôn thích kèm ơn Chúa vì Chúa cho em mọi điều an lành. That means in the morning when I wake up, I just want to be thankful to God. At noon when I eat my dinner, I just want to thank God. When I go to school, I like to thank God. When I lay on my bed at night, I just want to thank God. A little child, I just always want to be thankful to God. I want to thank God because God loves me. I just want to be thankful to God because God gives to me every single thing. And He does. He gives us everything. Everything we've got, God has given to us. Amen? So open your Bibles up to Matthew chapter 15. And we'll read, a few verses down, 21 through 28. Anybody ever been to Vietnam? Anybody? Well, brother... Pastor has. Anybody else ever been to Vietnam? Vietnam's a beautiful, beautiful... Oh, you have to. I forgot about that. Beautiful. Boy, you're getting old, brother. Beautiful, beautiful country. It is. It's one of the most beautiful countries in all the world. I know a lot of soldiers, all they remember about is the pillage and all the war and all the war-torn things of Vietnam. But Vietnam is beautiful. It's got 2,200 miles of white sandy beaches with nobody on them. You can actually take your family to the beach there and be decent because people in Vietnam don't take their clothes off and go to the beach. They actually put them on. They don't want to get dark. They want to be light-skinned. And matter of fact, women wear white makeup so they can be white. And I said, I don't know why everybody just don't change countries. You know, all the American women trying to get dark and all the Asian women trying to get light. I said, just switch places. It'd be cheaper. They can't believe there's actually women in America that lay under a heat lamp to get dark. They can't believe that. It has all the seafood you could ever possibly eat, real cheap. It has very beautiful, high, lush mountains. Has rice paddies, just beautiful rice paddies. It's one of the most beautiful countries in all the world. And Vietnamese people in Vietnam, Vietnamese here in America are different, but Vietnamese in Vietnam are some of the most sweetest people you'll ever be around. All right, Matthew chapter 15 and verse 21, it said, Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon, and behold, a woman of Canaan come out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. Now, you would think that the Lord Jesus Christ would be falling all over himself to help this woman. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. Wow, this saying is developing here. He's getting rougher and rougher and rougher. Then, and she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Could I get the pastor to... Pray, please. Now, I got to clear something up right now. How many of y'all eat pork? Everybody like pork here? Oh, Lord. How many of y'all eat chickens? Amen. How many of y'all eat beef? How many of y'all eat dog? I do. I like dog meat. I'll tell you, there ain't nothing better than a cat. Cat, man, I means like a tender young rabbit, man. I mean, it's good. Y'all eat chickens? I mean, y'all eat hogs? I mean, what's the difference? I tell you, the Koreans eat more dog than the Vietnamese do. You know what they call a dog downtown Manila? Lucky. Vietnamese eat anything and don't eat them. And I eat crocodile on a regular basis. I like crocodile. Crocodile's good. I mean, it's really good. I eat things I don't even know the name of them. I tell you, the wildest thing I ever eat one time, we built a bunch of houses in this one place, and they took me to a place, and they said, these people really love you, and they've made you a special meal, and they want you to come in, and they've prepared all this special food, and they've got this specialty for you, just for you. And I went in there. You know what it was? I nicknamed it Rat on a Stick. It was field mice, and they put them on a stick, and they barbecue them. And, you know, how many eat squirrel? It's the same thing. What's the difference in a squirrel and a mouse? That's all it is, a rodent. Well, I toughed it out. That was a little hard to eat, but I went ahead. It tasted just like a squirrel. So I've eaten some wild things for the glory of God. Amen. You can't turn it down. If you turn it down, you offend these people. Now, you don't have to eat it, but I always tell people, hey, you got a cat or a dog problem? Just have me in for a week or so. I'll take care of it. Amen. We can handle it. All right. Matthew chapter 15. And one of the things, one of the dirtiest animals in the world is a dog. It really is. When you're in the Bible, the dirtiest animal that you can run into is a dog and a hog. And they have some of the most sickening habits. I don't know if any of you ever been around dogs before. But, I mean, they do something that is just very nasty, man. I mean, they eat, and it's like their stomach won't hold it down, and they've got to get rid of it, and then they go eat it the second time. And then some of you stick your face down in that old dog's face, and you kiss that stupid thing right on the mouth. I always tell people, I kiss dog too, but that's when we're eating dog tongue. Amen? Now, the Bible says in Proverbs 26:11, as a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly. So when the Bible speaks of a dog, he's not bragging on it. 2 Peter 2:22, it says, but it happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed her wallowing in the mire. Now, God uses this analogy to depict somebody that's evil or vile or filthy. Now, isn't it a great thing to realize when God looks at you and you return back to your folly, some of you men, he calls you a dog? How many's ever heard men call a woman an old sow or an old pig? She's an old pig. Well, that's a scriptural terminology. They do that for a reason when they call her a pig, when she's out living in the world. The Bible said in Philippians 3:2, beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. Every time you see that word dog in the Bible, it's a bad thing. Revelations 22:15 says, for without are dogs. And so I had one time a lady got up and walked out of the church because I preached that and about dogs are without. And she says, you mean dogs don't go to heaven? I said, I don't know, lady, but the Bible said dogs are without. She got mad and left. Wow, man, if they're there, we'll eat them, amen? For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie, puts it in the context of bad things. When God wants to show you how vile a sinner is, he'll show you that story over there about Lazarus. And Lazarus laying in Luke 16:21, it said, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores.
What a thing, man, when a dog comes up and licks the sores of somebody with running sores on them. When God wants to show you how vile and filthy. Now, let me show you. I'll give you the two strongest cuss words in Vietnamese language. I cuss in Vietnamese. It's all right. Vietnamese would never, ever use the name of God in a cuss word. Even the most vile, ungodly person in Vietnam wouldn't do that. Nobody in Vietnam's that stupid. You'd have to be an American to be that stupid. You know, one time I worked for the Pensacola Naval Air Station when I went to Bible Institute. And I worked for the Pensacola Naval Air Station. I worked on an iron-setting crew. And boy, that's a foul-mouthed bunch you ever heard in your life. And boy, every day they called me in front of the big boss. His name was Sonny Wooten. Two of them, Dick Nally and Kenny Moon. And they said it is illegal for this man every day. All he talks about is Jesus Christ. He gets down and prays. He tells us we're going to hell. And he said all he talks about is that Bible. And he said we're sick of it. It's illegal. And we want it stopped. And Sonny Wooten come from a Christian family, although he wasn't a Christian. And he looked at me and he said, Micah, right. He said, according to the, you know, to our bylaws, you can't really talk about God and all that stuff. I said, that's no problem, Sonny. I said, I'm going to quit. I'm never going to mention the name God again. I'm never going to say the word hell again. I'm never going to give the name of Jesus Christ again. Just as long as they don't either. Now, you get on the job, who says the name Jesus Christ more than anybody? Christians? Why, they're too afraid. Who says the name God more than anybody on a workplace? It's them. Who uses the word hell more than anybody? They use it in a cuss word. They looked at me and Sonny says, okay, you boys going to quit cussing? He'll quit preaching. And they said, oh, forget it. And they turned around and walked out. What's fair is fair. Now, I'll tell you the two strongest cuss words in Vietnamese. One of them is do mất dạy. Do means thing, mất means lacking, dạy means teaching. A thing lacking teaching. That is strong, but it goes deep. It means when you call a kid that, that's saying your mama was too stupid to teach you. Now, the next strongest cuss word in the Vietnamese language is do cha, and that's a dog thing. So when a Vietnamese or an Oriental calls you a dog, it's not a funny thing. If you call somebody one of those two things in Vietnam, you better be ready to fight. Because they're fixing to fight with you. And I tell you that to let you understand that this Bible is an Oriental book. This Bible was written by Orientals. So when they call you a dog, it's strong. It's not just saying something in passing. Now, we all know somebody says, oh, you dirty dog. Oh, you dirty dog. You old dirty dog. I mean, people say that like a joke. That's not funny in Oriental countries. You can get killed for calling somebody a dog in Vietnam. Now, our Bible being an Oriental book has the Oriental slant on it. When an Oriental calls you a dog, that's second only to be called stupid. You hear old-timers talk, and they say that word. I hear them all the time in America when I'm back. I hear them say, dirty dog. You know what a German calls you? He calls you a Schweinhund. You know what that is? That's a pig dog. That's the two dirtiest animals in the Bible, is a pig and a dog. So when they really don't like you, they call you a pig dog. If they call you a pig dog, they're upset with you. Amen? So you got to understand what Jesus Christ is saying here when he calls this woman a dog. Now, the first thing I want to show you in verse 21, 22 is the situation presented. It said, then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried at him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. Now I want you to know something. It is no accident that the Lord goes to this place this day. I'll tell you something else. It's no accident that you're here today. You're here because God wants you here today. There's a purpose in you being here. You need to hear what I've got to say. Whether you're mad or upset, don't even think that's going to intimidate me. The madder you get, the better I feel. Amen? I like people getting mad. That just sort of, like they say, turns me on. Amen? That turns my switch. That just makes me mean. I get in your face. You don't get this ugly by not never being in a fight. Amen? Now, in verse 22, you see this woman has got the me, my disease. Me. Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But look who she cries out for first. Me. She didn't cry out for her daughter. She cried out, help me. Daughter second. Unless you read this passage close, you miss what's going on here. When she comes at first, it's without any humility. I'm sick of these Christians thinking they call the old man upstairs. I hope God washes your mouth out with lye soap if you ever say that. What a stupid thing to say. God's not the old man upstairs. And I tell you what, when you go to God like that, you're going without any humility, and God's not going to answer your prayer. She comes like she deserves help. Now, I know the Bible says to come boldly before the throne of grace, but it didn't say to go there demanding. It says have enough boldness to come, but then you better realize and humble yourself and realize where you're at when you get in there. The Bible said in 1 Peter 5:5, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. He resists you if you're proud, but he gives grace to the humble. This woman comes, she has no humility. You need to get over yourself. Some of you don't get this situation yet. Humility is in the heart. One time we were building a house for some orphans. I never will forget this. We was building a house for some orphans. Here comes this woman with her kids, and she had a bunch of kids. And she come up there, and she had her kids. We had the communists were all there. And she come up, and she said, hey, Mr. American, won't you come over here and build a house for me and my kids? It's always me and my, just like the Bible shows you. And I said, because I don't want to. And she looked, she says, I'm going to write a letter, because you can do that in Vietnam, I'm going to write a letter of complaint about you to the province, the head provincial capital, and I'm going to write a letter against you. I said, why waste the paper? Right there is the head man of the province, and right there is the head cop. Won't you go tell them? And she went over and said, he's going to do what he wants to do. I wouldn't help that woman if she and her kids starved to death. Now, I've got 300 orphans I raise. But you come to me demanding something, I'm not going to give you nothing. I won't even tell you what time of the day it is. And if I'm that way, just think how God is. Look how he done. Isn't that his attitude with this woman? He wouldn't even talk to this woman. Who in the world do we think we are? She come up there, me and mine. Help me and then help my daughter. And I mean right now. Oh, you think God's your bellboy, huh? He's going to teach you a lesson. He's going to teach you a lesson that you're never going to get a hold of real quick. Let me show you something else. Let's go to verse 23 and 24. And let's see how this story unfolds. It said, but he answered her not a word. She's full of herself. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she cried after. He said, get her out of here. She's driving us crazy. But he answered and said, I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He said, I ain't talking to this woman. I ain't got time for this woman. I'm not come for her. She's a Gentile. I come for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That means the Jews. Now, you'd think, you know, the way you hear Christianity presented to you all the time, you would think the Lord would be falling all over himself, just falling down and just grabbing this woman and kissing her on the cheeks and just dying to help her. But he's not. You know, help sometimes need the silent treatment. Ooh, you husbands know what that means, don't you? How many of you men ever, well, don't answer that. But how many of you ever had the silent treatment in your life? You've had it, brother, already. You haven't been married that long. The cruelest thing my dad ever done to me. I was raised on a farm. We raised tobacco mostly, where I'm from, southeastern Indiana. We raised some corn and put up a lot of hay and raised cattle and hogs. That's why I love hogs. I love pork. You know why I love it? I hate a hog worse than any animal on the face of this earth. That's the smartest animal in the world. That animal will push a button and get his own water, and then every stinking hog behind him will come up there and push that same button. You could put 1 million dogs in there, and you couldn't train one to do that. But you know what? A hog is the most stubborn animal on the face of the earth, ladies. I don't know why God calls you a sow. But anyhow, I liked them. My job was to get them up on that truck. And I used to take that hot shot cane, and my uncle would say, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm frying bacon. I hate them things. I hate them stupid hogs." But I'll tell you, one time I'd done something bad, and my dad come. He worked at night in the factory, and then we farmed all day. And I heard my mama, my dear mother, down there telling my dad all about what I'd done. And I never will forget my daddy. And when I come down there, he says, "I am going to beat you to death." This thing fell apart, brother. But he said, "I'm going to do it tonight." And I had to work with him all day long. Every time I was out there hoeing that tobacco, he'd look around at me with one of them, "I'm going to kill you." I died 1,000 deaths that day. That's the cruelest thing. My dad, we got home, and we used to actually have a woodshed. We never had running water until I was 11. The only running water we had was me going over the hill and running back up on top from the spring. We never had inside toilet. We never had inside plumbing. We never had anything. And we didn't even know we was poor. But we used to have a woodshed. And boy, that night we got home, my dad took me to the woodshed, and he just touched his belt, and I went, "Ah!" He said, "I ain't even got my belt off yet." I said, "I wish you'd have killed me 20 times today. Man, you have to wait, man. It drives you crazy." God will give you the silent treatment of life. How many's ever had a silent treatment from God? That's the best thing in the world. You know why God's trying to humble you? He's trying to let you understand you don't order God around. This woman is such a nuisance. She irritated the apostles. In verse 24, he says, "I'm not helping this Gentile woman. I'm not here for her." He wouldn't even talk to her. He was telling them to tell her. He won't have nothing to do with her. Boy, ain't that a way to build a church. Somebody comes in and says, "Oh, get out of my face. I ain't got time for you." That's wild, man. I had a woman one time. Like I say, I love Vietnamese. In 1992, God took all the hate. I used to hate them. I'd spit on one I see them on the street. As a pastor. I couldn't stand them. But in 1992, God took all the hatred that I had in my heart towards the Vietnamese, and he turned that and made me love them. But I love Vietnamese in Vietnam. Vietnamese that come to America are ruined. They're ruined. And they'll even tell you that. They're not like the Oriental Vietnamese in Vietnam. Vietnamese in Vietnam are very humble people. They're very service-oriented people. They're very kind. They're very hospitable. Vietnamese here, they're different. I got off an airplane in Vietnam one time, and there's this woman. It's Viet Kiel. They call them Viet Kiel. And come back from America, coming in there, she said, Hey, Mr. American, come over here. Come over here and get my bags off. I said, "Yes, ma'am. I'll be right over and get them for you just as soon as it snows down here in Saigon." I said, "My mama is dead." She's the only woman that's got any right to tell me what to do. Some of you couldn't say that. Your wife would slap you, amen? It wasn't long after that. Same time, this old Vietnamese woman who had just went to America to visit her children come up, and I never will forget her.
just real old-timey, 80, probably 80 years old. And she touched me on the shoulders, and she said, young man, she said, could you help me just drag those bags off of that wheel over there for me? She says, I'm not strong enough, and I bought a bunch of stuff back from my family from America. I said, ma'am, just wait a minute. I'll go get you a cart. And I went and got a cart, and I got all of her bags off and got mine. I said, let me get them through customs for you. I'll get them checked through. And I said, we got a van waiting outside. I said, we'll take you anywhere you want to go, ma'am. And we took her somewhere. Didn't charge her a penny. You say, what's the difference? Your attitude. Your attitude, your humility. You come thinking you deserve something, and you come thinking you're worthy of something, you're not going to get anything. Until you realize what you actually are, what you really are, you're not going to get anything from God. The Bible said God resisteth the proud. He hear you. He don't want to pay no attention. Get him out of here. Get her out. First thing she says is me. Have mercy on me. And then help my daughter. Lord said, get out of here. You ain't. This is a sinner's got to get prepared. You know, sometimes we jerk them down the aisle too quick, folks. Sometimes they just need the devil preached out of them. You know what? You have to understand what you are. You deserve hell. You know that? If you're not saved in here, you deserve hell. I'll tell you something else. You're saved, some of you, and you're on your way to heaven. You don't deserve one extra thing. You don't love God. You don't serve God. You don't read your Bible. You don't pray. You don't support the church. Who in the world do you think you are? Getting on your knees. You got a lot of gall to get down and start talking to God. It ought to be in confession. Now, let me give you something else. You about wore out with that one. Let's get 25 and 26, and then we're going to see the Savior's pronouncement. Then came she and worshiped him. Now she's changed her attitude a little bit. She's coming in and worshiping him now. Lord, help me. It wasn't all this phony baloney stuff now. She's getting down to nitty gritty. You get in trouble, it won't be one of these, our most heavenly gracious Father. It'd be, God, help me, I'm in a mess. You get serious with God. God will get serious with you. This is a Savior's pronouncement. You see in verse 25, she had a change. She changed her attitude. You also see in verse 26, the Lord doesn't let up. He doesn't give her no slack. She has changed her attitude. But, Lord, don't let up on her. You know what the problem with some of you kids are? You start crying before you get your switching. And mom and daddy, old softies, they spare the rod and they spoil the child. Boy, I always knew one thing. After I stepped over that line, it didn't matter how much I screamed and hollered, I was going to get the full 100% worth of my daddy's wrath. My mom was a dangerous woman. I remember one time, kids, I come home in a bad way. I snuck up and got in my bed. I laid on, slithered in that bed like all you, some of you slither in it. I slithered in that bed, laid on my belly, and the next thing I know, my mom had one knee on one arm and one knee on the other. She had a flashlight and she beat me half to death. You say, I'd have fought her. I wish you'd have been in that position and see how much fighting you do with a big old crazy heavyset woman with a flashlight in her hand beating the devil out of you. That's why I'm about half addled. My mother beat me half to death with a flashlight. She'd hit you. One time my sister, I was standing there aggravating my sister and mom is doing dishes, and my sister smarted off. My mom was doing a butcher knife, and she took that butcher knife and she slapped my sister right in the face with a wood handle. I didn't know it. I thought she cut her head off. I said, Mom, you killed her! It scared my mom. Boy, it just wasn't smart to smart off to my mom when she was had something in her hand. She carried a pistol every day of her life. She always had a pistol in her purse. She was a dangerous woman. You know what? Some of you need a dangerous mother. Amen?
I tell you what, my mama was a sinner like everybody else, but all three of her kids are in church. She'd beat the devil out of you, and she never took up for me over my teacher. One time a teacher slapped me like it broke my head, man, knocked me out of a desk for running my mouth. And if Kenny Monroe, one of my friends, hadn't jumped up and grabbed me, he probably would have killed me. And I tell kids that, and they said, "Did you go home and tell your mama?" I said, "No, one whipping was enough. She would have whooped me again." And some of you need a whooping. And if your mom and daddy don't give it to you, I'll guarantee you your father in heaven's a better father, and he'll give you one. He's going to give you one. Jesus Christ just right out refuses to help this woman and calls her a dog right in her face. Calls her a dog. You need to erase this idea from your mind that Jesus Christ is this big set of lips in the sky. He's not. People think God is a cross between Tinkerbell, the Tooth Fairy, and Captain Kangaroo. How many remember Captain Kangaroo? You're telling your age. Let's see. Captain Kangaroo never hurt anybody's feelings, did he? I'm going to tell you what, that is not God. The God that's being presented today on television and radio is not the God of the Bible. That's why when you read Matthew 15, you can't understand this. I got two little orphan girls named Fung Dai and Fung. I got a picture of them in my billfold. Those girls love me. I've raised them since they've been little old tots. I got pictures of them. They're little old tiny girls. They're big old girls now. Here they are right here. Two of the most beautiful girls you ever meet in your life. Mother, prostitute. Don't even know who their dads are. Don't know who their dad is. Mother died of AIDS. Now they got no home. They're living with the mother's mother, the grandmother. All they got is a little old thatch roof house with a dirt floor, and they got no food to eat. Hey, God let that happen. Couldn't God have stopped that? God could stop that stuff. You think God's not couldn't stop that stuff? He didn't. He let it happen. It happened. Let me go on. I'll get back to those two little girls in a minute. Now in verse 27, 28, we get the solution's possession. And she said, "Truth, Lord." He's just called her a dog. He said, "You're a dog." And she says, "I am." "Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumb which fell from their master's tables." She trips the Lord up. You know how you trip the Lord up? By humility. When you humble yourself, that'll trip the Lord up. You want to get something from God? You don't come in there threatening God. You don't come in there demanding anything from God. You say, "Truth, Lord. That's what I am. And I don't deserve nothing. But Lord, even dogs eat the crumbs." She gets it in verse 27. Proverbs 18:12 said, "Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility." Proverbs 22:4 says, "By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life." You cannot ever have something. You can't ever have something now until you've got humility. You know what it is? Look what he says. Verse 28. "Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith." You can't ever get faith until you have humility. She humbled herself and God said, "Boy, great's your faith." Why? You can't have faith without humility. Do you ever talk to somebody and they say, "Well, I'm not a bad person. I never robbed a bank. I never killed nobody. For by grace are you saved through faith." And that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You know what faith is? Faith is a gift. God gives you faith. But he won't give it to you until you realize. You know what you got to realize before you get saved? You're a sinner. You're a dog. God says, you believe that? Hey, I'm going to give you faith. I'll give you enough faith to believe the gospel. People walk around, man, like they have arrived. Okay, now, everybody, be quiet. The king has come. God's not impressed with that. You will not. Do you ever sit and try to explain the gospel to somebody and they can't understand it and you can't figure out for the life of you why? God won't give them the faith to believe it. And you can sit down and talk to a little child and a child can believe it and understand it. It's simple to them because God gives them the faith to believe it. Listen, some of you don't get it. 1 Peter 5, 6, it says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. James 4, 10 says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Humble yourself. You're the mess. You're undone. You're a dog. Christians trying to promote themselves, lost people trying to save themselves. Now let's get back to those two little girls. Fung Dai Fung. And I'll be done. Every Vietnamese house in Vietnam, I don't care how poor, has an altar. And on that altar, they have incense burners, they have candles or lights, and every day they offer the fruits. They have pictures of their elders. When somebody dies, a grandmother, a grandfather, they turn them into a god. They're ancestral worshipers. And they got Buddha up there. They just worship anything, man. There's billions of false gods in Vietnam. That old grandmother tells this all over Vietnam where she's at. She said those two little old girls' mamas died of AIDS. Didn't know who their dads was. They couldn't figure out who their dads was. The kids don't know. Nobody knows. She says one day they were out of food, living in an old dirt shack. Kids were hungry. And said she got down on her knees in front of that altar and she looked up to heaven and she says, God, I know there's a true God up there. I know these gods are real, but I know there's a real God. And God, will you help me? I don't want these kids to starve. God, please, I don't want them to end up like their mother. She said 2 weeks to the day, a boat pulled up to her house. They live right there on the water. And she said, this big crazy American speaking Vietnamese got out and said, we're going to build a house here. No, we're going to double it. We're going to build a double house here. And we're going to bring food in here. I said, get that food up here. We brought enough food in there for three. We brought food in. Those kids never saw that much food in their life. Wasn't long, those kids got curious of why somebody would show up at their house that never knew them and would do such things to help them out. So they asked my builder. My builder told him, he said, you know what? That man's a Christian. And one day God came looking for him and saved his soul. And he got saved. And he wants to show you the love of God that God had on him. And he wants to show you that same love out on your life. And those two little girls started going to church about 6 months later. In a boat one day, I was carrying them home. Little Fung Dai reached over and said, Dad, I got saved. You know what? They got saved and they started going to church. They'd stay all day Sunday and go Sunday night. And then their grandmother saw such a change. She went to church with them, riding 5 kilometers one way on the back of a bicycle. And it wasn't long, she got saved. Now let me tell you something. You do like that old woman done. One thing I know, preacher, I was God's answer to prayer for once in my life. How many of you could say that? What am I telling you? You get honest with God, you get serious with God, you humble yourself before God, God will take care of you. Let's pray. I don't know. I don't even know y'all. I ain't had even time to talk to the preacher about you. I don't know nothing about this place. I know it's a church, but I don't know if y'all saved. I don't know if you are or you're not. Piano's playing music, organ. You know, it'd be a good day to get born again. Don't you think it'd be a good day to get saved if you're not saved? Anybody raise their hand in here and say, Brother Mike, I'm not saved. Could anybody just be honest and humble themselves and raise their hand and say, Brother Mike, I don't think I'm born again. I truly need to get saved. Would you raise your hand? By that, I take you're all saved. But I know some of you having trouble in your life. And I know you need some help. And I know you've tried everything under the sun and it's not working. But I'll tell you how to fix it. I'll tell you how to fix it. The way to fix it is humble yourself. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Humble yourself. Just make a complete fool out of yourself. Do something you wouldn't dream of doing before in your life. Get up out of your seat and come down here to this altar and ask God to help you. Say, God, I'm in a mess. I'm in a mess. Lord, you know I'm in a mess, and I am a mess. And if you don't do something for me, God, I'm not going to be here in another month or so. I won't be here in 6 months from now. You got to humble yourself, folks. Humble yourself and cry out to God. I know you're saying Christians do this. I don't have to go to that altar and get in. I know. As soon as you say that, you need to. Because you're proud. You're proud. You're so proud God can't reach you. He's saying, you're a dog. Realize what you are. Come on. Won't you come? Come on down here. Humble yourself. Might have been the first time in your life you've ever done this. So just humble yourself. Come on. Let God do a work in your life. You need a work done. Only God can do it.
Folks in this room just got too much pride. And Lord, I pray you'd help us realize that we need to humble ourselves, come to Thee. Some young folks have been blessed and honored throughout the years. I pray that they'd consider you, consider doing something for you. Some of them just so concerned for themselves, like this woman. And Lord, I do pray that you'd help us recognize that you are working in our lives. And I pray that you'd help us to be open to your leading and humble ourselves realize we don't deserve anything except hell. And Lord, I thank you for what you gave Brother Mike for us. Lord, I appreciate that. Lord, I do pray you'd help us to be faithful to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, 4 o'clock. It's